The views and opinions expressed by KL and OJ do not necessarily reflect those of We Are More Than the podcast. This particular episode may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I bet you don't want none. You know you're messing with the wrong ones.
Now watch out.
You keep talking, I'ma give you some. Just keep running and running and running.
Good day. It's the best day of the week. Great day to be alive. Great day to get better. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of We Are More Than the podcast. I have a fan favorite with me, and we are about to get into some really, really, really interesting topics. There's some hot topics, as a matter of fact. I can say that. But ladies and gentlemen, clap it up for Mr. Move On Up, Mr. Yay Yay, Mr. Moving, Grooving, you know, Mr. Phillips. If you're nasty,
and only if you're nasty.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got with me my dog, my brother from another mother. OJ is in the house. What's going on, man?
Just happy to be here, man.
Just happy to be here. Yes, I am happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to be here. Surprised you came to see me again.
Yeah, man. You know, I heard
what happened. Everything all right?
Yeah, everything good. I heard your message loud and clear, though. You said every now and again, I gotta come back home.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? You don't fool with me.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
Don't do that.
I see you now once every blue moon.
Dog, we just hung out New Year's Eve. Don't do that.
Well, we was at New Year's Eve.
Charlotte.
Oh, we did go to Charlotte.
See?
We did go to Charlotte.
See how soon we forget. And then you took almost the whole week off.
No, I was working.
You didn't work Monday. Nobody worked Monday.
Thank you.
But you worked from home Tuesday.
Okay, I was working.
Yeah. And so was
so
I.
So don't say I took the time off. I was just at home.
When did you come back to work?
When I come back in the office?
Yeah.
Thursday.
Okay, see? See? That's what I mean.
But I was working, though.
Yeah. I'm not saying you weren't working.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you weren't working hard.
No, I was working hard.
We'll talk about it later.
Don't do me that.
We'll talk about it later.
Ugh, excuse me.
But yeah, man, I had to come back out here because we have been having some interesting conversations. And like I said, we're gonna do hot topics. And y'all know that I normally shy away from hot topics because they eventually become dated. So if you come back to this episode, then you'll be able to like put a time period on it.
Make it hot.
Like, this is what was happening during this time. But we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, but it's good to do hot topics sometimes too, because you got to talk about the stuff that's currently going on.
Right.
I mean, if you go back and watch Tom Brokaw, I mean, what? He ain't talking about it today, but it's good to watch him.
Yeah, but Tom Brokaw also didn't have a podcast.
Like, that was because Tom Brokaw was born back when Jesus was walking. So don't do that. But if he was here today, he would have a broadcast.
Yeah, him, a podcast. Larry King. Well, Larry King basically had a podcast.
Larry King still living?
No.
He gone?
Yeah, Larry King been gone for some years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, yeah. I thought Larry was still here.
But Letterman has a pod-ish thing that he does on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. The late night dude.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, David. Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so... But yeah, man, you know, we just gonna go ahead and R. Kelly that thing.
Wait a minute.
We just gonna go ahead and touch on it.
Robert.
In some cases, okay to R. Kelly.
I don't know if we can say that.
What?
You know what? Kim might have been right. We might we might be.
No, what way. I mean by that is sometimes it's okay to touch on it.
Bruh.
Just verify what you're touching on.
Come on, man.
Speaking of R. Kelly, real quick, that video that you sent me talking about when you decided to take dinner with R. Kelly
instead of the $500,000,
that was hilarious.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was hilarious. But so I want to give a quick shout out to the podcast world. So The Pivot, you know, I'm a huge fan of The Pivot. Watch them all the time. The way they feed off of each other. And now they are intentionally doing the three-man shows.
Mm.
So, like, they'll do whatever artist or guest that they have that comes on.
Mm.
And then on Fridays, they do a three-man show.
Where it's just them.
Mm. And, like, they're just kind of talking about some of the hot topic issues and those kind of things. So, shout out to The Pivot. Shout out to Million Dollars Worth of Game. They've got excellent content. Cam and Mace doing their things.
I like Cameron Mace.
Yeah, I finally looked at Trigger Warning. I like
Trigger Warning.
The dude that when he gets triggered.
Oh yeah.
And just kind of go in on what triggered him, those things. And it's like, Kelvin, why are you talking about all of these different podcasts? Because my man, Pots and Pans, a country dude like myself, the difference is that he doesn't care about his diction. My brother, Shannon Sharp. Shannon had a dynamic podcast just a few days ago that dropped. And the person that joined him for a drinking conversation.
Don't do like that.
was Cat Williams. And yeah. Cat Williams has successfully set the internet on fire.
Yeah.
So
I knew it was big when my mama called me and was asking me what was going on. And my mama ain't on no social media, nothing. No Facebook, nothing.
Not even YouTube.
Nothing, bro.
And she just called you and asked you what was up.
Like, OJ, what's going on with this Cat Williams guy everybody keep talking about? And I'm like, well, mama, how you heard about it? You know what I'm saying? Like, she'll jump on Twitter because she like to follow Don Staley about the women's basketball. And she said she saw a couple clips. But my mama also one of the people, she can't take it.
Right.
So she don't want to see the whole thing. She just come to me for the cliff notes.
I got you.
That's when I knew. I was like, oh,
I got you.
Oh, he done really set some stuff on fire. My mama calling me.
Yeah. So what were your, well, how did you enjoy the interview? Let's start there.
Well, for one, I'm the type where to get me to sit down for 2 hours and 46 minutes and to do something continuously is very hard.
Right.
I sat there for 2 hours and 46 minutes, literally. And there were times where I had to stop and call people. You remember, you were one of the people I called. I'm like, yo, am I tripping? But it was a very good listen for sure. To me, anyway.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. I enjoyed the content. Like, I always enjoy the content. I watch a lot of Shannon's pods.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, again, I'm in this space, so I'm learning how to ask these questions. I'm learning how to let my guests just kind of talk, and if they're bloviating, let them do that as well. Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Okay, I hear you.
But yeah, so like I give them that room to really, really talk. And as you know, when I'm doing the editing on the pods, I very seldom cut out anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that he gave him the runway to just talk his shit.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 2.5 feelings about the podcast as okay. far as Cat goes. But
positive or negative?
Yes.
Okay. All right, give me your negative.
So initially for me it came off as bitter, if you will.
Okay.
So it my three things was, is he bitter? Is he telling the truth? Is it both? That's the 2.5.
Okay, so where did you get the sense of bitterness from?
Where it was him taking his shots, and it sounded like where he was coming from, just for me, where he was coming from, it felt like, okay, I'ma just get my rocks off and talk about the opportunities that I turned down so you can have, the opportunities I turned down that you can pick up, the opportunities that I turned down so you can do, like, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it almost sounded as if he was angry of those opportunities, or you sold out to do something that I had integrity about it, so I had more integrity than you because I didn't do it. It was one of those things.
I didn't necessarily get that.
I mean, that's like I said, that's what I got. That's the bitter side of it that I...
To be the devil's advocate, what I took from that was I'm the type of person to wear cat, not me.
Right.
I'm the type of person to wear, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to sit back, let y'all talk. But when I come out, I'm coming out swinging.
Okay.
So to me, it didn't come off as bitterness. It came off like, okay, I sat back for so long, I let Ricky Smiley say what he had to say.
Right.
I let Sid say what he had to say.
Right.
I listened to Kevin Hart say what he had to say.
Which Kevin Hart didn't say anything.
If you go back and look at The Breakfast Club, he did.
The only time he said something was when he had something to say about Tiffany. That's
the only time
Kevin Hart ever said anything about
Tiffany. But this is my thing. If I'm talking about Tiffany, I ain't talking about you.
Yeah.
So now that you address me, I feel like I must address you.
But he's always addressed Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart left him alone.
But this is my thing. I'm just giving you
a, I know, I know. Go ahead.
So me, it came off as, because like Kat says, Kat doesn't do a lot of interviews, so we've never heard from Kat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So this was one of them, I think, one of those, I've sat around for so long and just listened to everything everybody had to say. Now that I got the platform, everybody gonna get it.
And I could dig that.
And it didn't come off bitter to me. It just came off like, remember we had this argument one time. It came off that he, like, he was telling his truth.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that.
That's what it came off
it
to me.
It is funny you say that. OJ, I had a aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the term my truth actually exists.
Yes, it exists. Now,
and, well, let me let me not say that it actually exists. Of course it exists, but now I've been able to put sense to it.
Yeah.
Because again, you know how I feel. But I say this all the time. If you and I have a disagreement and you tell somebody the disagreement and I tell somebody the disagreement, it's your vantage point, my vantage point, and then the truth lies somewhere in between that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or it's so, my truth, your truth.
Exactly.
And then the truth.
The truth. Right. So, and I looked at it that way.
Yeah.
Are some of the things that he's saying the truth? Could very well be. Is some of the things that he's saying fabricated? Very well could be.
Mm-hmm.
Is the truth there somewhere? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's when I started enjoying the interview, was when I got to that realization of, hey, just take it for information,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of carve it out as what it is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I went about it. Like, so, and this is what I mean by bitter. So you said Cedric was on the show and he said his piece.
Mm-hmm.
He said his piece after he was asked.
Yeah.
Because the question was brought up.
Yeah, the question was brought up, but I still
didn't bring it up.
But do
Shannon
I?
Shannon brought it up.
But do I get to respond?
Oh yeah, sure you get to respond.
Because if you didn't want to answer the question, you could have hit Shannon with the no comment.
Right. See, but no one directly said anything negative about Kat. Because you seen the Cedric Entertainer one, right?
Yeah.
He was like, "Hey man, you know, jokes, blah, 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 so forth and so on." He didn't say, "Man, fuck what Cat Williams talking about. Nigga, I ain't still." He didn't come
in
off
a roundabout way. He did, though.
But he didn't come off like that.
If I say, Kelvin, you stole $10 from me.
Right.
Me and you squash it on the back end. You never heard me talk about it again.
Right.
Somebody come and ask you, "Hey, you stole $10 from OJ?" Man, that shit don't even line up. Why I need to steal $10 from OJ? Well, wait a minute now. So now you calling me a liar.
I get what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Like, because if we already squashed it, what should have said was, man, me and Kat already talked about that.
That shit ain't about nothing.
It was addressed, man. Right. We good, man. Me and him good. Let's move forward.
Right.
Now, when Kat come up there, it's nothing for him to respond to. You know what I'm saying? Because Sid already basically already said, man, me and him took care of that. We good.
Right. So again, I don't even remember Steve Harvey talking about Kat Williams in his interview with Shannon.
I don't think he was addressing Steve Harvey in the sense of Steve saying anything to
Shannon. He was addressing Steve Harvey in the sense of what Steve had said about Bernie Mac and him saying, "Yo, you full of shit. You did want to do everything that Bernie Mac did. Yeah. Just nobody wanted you."
And they proved, you know, the internet. They went and proved that he actually did call the producers of Ocean 11 to try to get the role from Bernie Mac. That's why they fell out.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is cold-blooded.
Right. Right. And then Ricky Smiley. And I'm glad Ricky Smiley went back and cleaned it up, because Kat took it as face value of, yeah, you know, Ricky said I was going to be Money Mike, and then they took the role, they gave the role to Kat. And then when he came back out on the show, I don't know if you saw his interview.
I saw the interview.
Yeah,
that ain't what he said. Because on the interview, he said, I was Money Mike.
Yeah, which
I shot all the scenes for Money Mike.
Right.
In 4 days. And then basically they gave it to Cat Williams. And I think Cat was basically coming out and saying, because the way it came off to me was, Cat wasn't the best person for the role. They thought I was. And I did it. And then they just happened to give it to Cat.
Right.
So, you know, if you the type of person that's like right now, you work hard at podcasting.
Right.
You know, you busting your ass, this and this and that. Then I come in and be like, you know what I'm saying? We Are More Than a Podcast was mine. You know what I'm saying? I had already filmed 10 shows, but then, you know, they decided to give it to Kelvin.
Boy, that shit sound eerily close to something.
You know what I'm saying?
I get what you saying.
When you work hard at something, that shit gonna rub you the wrong way. Like, right. Man, what you mean? They just gave it to me.
Right.
See, even that didn't come off as is like petty. Even that to me came off as, let me set the record straight. Like, they didn't give me nothing.
Right.
It was 200 plus people who.
Yeah, 298. And he was the last audition.
Yeah.
And like, they gave him the role. Because, and when Ricky Smiley went back on the show and was like, yeah, so the Money Mike role wasn't a pimp. He said that, again, because he even said, yo, there was no way that I could have played a pimp. The Money Mike role was like a crackhead or whatever that was hanging around that area. Like we know dudes and we call them whatever.
No.
Like, yo, let me hold something. Yeah, he.
The Santa Claus was a crackhead. No,
but the Money Mike role. So when Ricky Smiley went back on his show to talk about the interview.
I saw it.
Yeah, he was saying that the Money Mike role that he auditioned for.
Wasn't a pimp. But it was supposed to be like a smooth person with money.
Nah, it was supposed to be like a hustler that want money.
Oh, see.
Yeah.
When I saw the one Ice Cube did, Ice Cube basically said everything Cat said was 100% true. And this was just the other day.
Yeah, I saw Ice Cube. He didn't say everything he said was true. He said most of what he said was true.
Was 100%.
Yeah, you can't say most and 100%.
The reason, okay, and I'm gonna tell you. Let me tell you something. I'm starting to learn.
Right.
What you can't come out and say is everything Cat said was true.
Right.
Because now that put everybody against Ice Cube. But what you do is say, hey, mostly 100% of what he said was true.
Yeah.
Because now you ain't confirm or deny nothing.
Right.
So anybody he talked about can't be mad at Q, because I ain't say he said nothing. What he said about you was true.
Right.
I just said mostly what he said was true.
Right. Right.
It's how I looked at it.
Yeah. And like it, for me, and I'm pretty sure Shannon had those questions on his card, right?
I don't think he did.
I think he did. I think he had similar questions that he had for all the guests that were on the show.
I'm going to tell you why I don't think some of those questions he had. Is because Shannon comes off to me like a person who tries to shy away from drama. And I think him knowing Cat, it was certain things he wasn't going to ask because he know what was going to come with it.
Right. See, but I think in all fairness, he was going to talk about the joke stealing thing.
I think he was going to ask that. Yes.
In all fairness, I think he was going to talk about just him in movies thing.
Yeah.
Because even in talking about those things doesn't mean that this stuff still doesn't come up.
Yeah, because I don't think he was going to ask about Money Mike.
Yeah, but I think in asking about movies, Money Mike would have come up.
Yeah, but.
You know what I'm saying?
I can see that.
So
I'm just saying, I don't think he had a card in his lap that said, ask him about Ricky Smiley saying he was going to play Money Mike. I don't think that was on the card.
Right. But I think he was going to ask about, you know, comedians stealing jokes. So this is why I say it comes off as petty, bitter, or whatever you want to use as that, because it was, hey, for what you got to talk to me about, thank you for the intro, unload the clip. Because he just let Cat go. He didn't ask Cat what, Cat just went. And as he went in, he went and he addressed everything. It was one of those, let me go ahead and get this shit out of the way, and then we'll move forward from there. That's what it came off as.
I don't think that, to me, I don't think that's pettiness. I think what we saw was an alpha male, and this is what I mean.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit here and beat around the bush about how I feel. So when I walk in the door, I'm going to address everything that I feel needs to be addressed that was on your show.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Based off of things that you sat down and talked to these people about. Don't come in. I don't want to talk no bullshit. We can get to that later. Let me go ahead and address what we need to address now.
Right.
And get it out the way. Then we could go and have the regular interview. It's just like if you don't like somebody in the house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna come in and go in the refrigerator and make you a sandwich and walk around the house. You're gonna come in and address that person first. Let's go ahead and get the damn the thickness in the air out of the way. Let's address the elephant in the room.
So
because if you heard, I don't know if you saw it, Shannon came on Nightcap with Ocho and said, man, I wished I would have had the camera on as soon as he walked in the room.
Yeah, because he came in the room on 10.
Because they said supposedly whatever he said when he walked in the room was on some other shit.
Yeah. So the other thing that I want to applaud Shannon on is that he went on Nightcap last night. Mm. And there are people taking shots at him.
As far as what?
Because of the levels of success that he's hit since this interview has jumped out. Because last night when he jumped on a Nightcap, it was at 37 million views.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are taking shots. Other podcasters are taking shots. And he goes, just because you were first don't mean that you the best.
Yeah.
He unloaded his clip last night.
Mm.
Because he said all I've done since I've been in this space is show love.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment that I've hit some success, and he goes, but y'all are looking at this as success. He started listing the multi-million view guests that he just kind of went down the list on.
Yeah.
So it's not that people weren't watching the content.
Yeah.
It's just that this one happened to be the lightning rod.
Yeah. But that's every podcaster has that one interview that, you know, may get them, you know, double the views of any other interview.
Right.
But people going to hate regardless. If I was Shannon, I wouldn't even say shit. I mean, his accolades speak for itself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he can stop doing that shit today and just do damn first take.
And be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I get why he did it, because that go back to why I think Cat did what he did.
Yeah, just unload the clip.
Because at some point, how long do you expect me to take what you're saying without responding?
Well, so here's the thing. The statement that he also said yesterday, which I love the statement, but you can't unload your clip and then go back to the statement because you bullshit.
Okay.
Which the statement is, lions don't concern themselves with the thoughts of sheep. So if lions don't concern themselves with the thoughts of sheep, why are you addressing shit?
Because, okay, and I'm going to tell you from my vantage
point. And I know where you're going, but go ahead.
Lions don't concern themselves with the thoughts of sheep. Yeah, so if it's 1,000 sheep in here and I'm the one lion, no, I ain't concerned with 1,000 sheep. But if you the loudest sheep, I'm going to tell your ass up to make an example for the next 999.
I dig that.
And I think that's what it is. It's one of those, he probably saw, let's say a conservative number, 1,000 negative things.
Right.
You know, he might not have cared about 900 of them, but it could have been that one where he was like, you know what, enough. I'm going to address this, and I'm going to send it to the masses.
I got you.
It's just like in business how they say, you know, I may be pissed off at one person, but I'm going to address everybody.
Right. Oh, like in coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you fucked up. However, I'm gonna get on the whole team case.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on everybody tail.
But you know I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
And that's the way that Shannon addressed it.
Yeah.
He didn't call names. He didn't say who said what.
Because you can't.
What platform said what. But what he said was, this going on.
Mm-hmm.
And understand, I'm successful without this. The other thing that he said that I thought was super dope was, it's only impossible until you see somebody do it. Then you know you can.
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking about, you know, growing up in the house with his brother. You know, hell, my brother was good at football. I can be good at football. My brother went to college for it. I can go to college for it.
Mm-hmm.
My brother is a NFL star. I can be an NFL star. He said, it's only impossible until you see someone else do it and you know that you can do it.
Yeah.
So, but we ain't talking about Shannon right now. Shannon had some clips to unload last night, which I was like, ooh.
I'm going to go back and watch. I haven't seen it. I haven't been on today.
Because, you know, I watched Nightcap. Shout out to Nightcap, too.
Yeah.
Nightcap with Shannon and Ocho, and Nightcap with Shannon, Ocho, and Gilbert.
And Gilbert, yeah.
So what we're, and I know we've been sharing thoughts or whatnot. Based on what he said about who he said, what's your synopsis? What's your summary? What's your take on it?
Okay, well, I'm gonna save my most controversial take on it.
Okay.
Till we about to end this topic.
Okay.
My first thought was, he ain't lie. That was my first thought.
Okay.
I don't think he lied about shit he said other than running the 4.3 40.
So he didn't lie about the reading 3,000 books in a year?
Nope. Stop the cap. Because you got to think, if you're talking about an 8-year-old, he never said, I read 3,000 Lord of the Ring books.
Okay.
Because Noah got books that they send home from school now, Noah 10, and the book ain't but 12 pages. And we, me and Noah, have to read for his class. We got to read 7 books a week. And Noah's not an avid reader. So if you have a child that's an avid reader, in an age where there was no cell phones,
okay,
there was no video games, you got to think, Cat Williams in his 50s.
Cat Williams 52. Okay.
So you talking about a time where there was no video games, there was no cable TV, there was no, it was nothing but going outside and reading. Why is that so hard to believe?
Okay.
Because think about it. Remember when we was in, was it primary school or elementary?
It was in elementary school. So
if you read 100 books or something like that,
you got a pizza party.
You got a pizza party.
Yeah.
How many people you know?
Accelerated reader program.
How many people you know hit that 100?
I hit the 100.
Okay, so you hit the
100. Well, I took 100 tests.
Okay, so let's say.
I didn't read 100 books.
So let's say we know 3 or 4 people who hit the 100. How many books do you think they really read in that year outside of that 100?
We from Manning. 100.
Damn.
Could be. The reason why I didn't doubt what he said was because if he was an avid reader like he said he is. Like Charlamagne even said it best. Charlamagne said he could believe it because he used to do the same thing because his mama was an English teacher.
Right.
So I'm like, if he an avid reader, let's say books are 10 to 12 pages, how many books you think he got to read when there's nothing else for him to do?
I dig that.
That's why I didn't doubt that. I'm like, man, who am I to tell him? Because I know growing up, even with us,
right?
And we were born, I was born in 84.
Right.
When I was growing up,
I wasn't born in 84.
I'm just, you know, I can't remember. But when I was growing up, like, do you remember the first colored cell phone came out? I was senior year of high school.
Yeah. And it was a...
It was a flip phone.
It was a... Actually, it was the Nokia that wasn't a flip. That was the color.
The first color phone I remember was a flip. Can't even remember the name of it. It ain't had no games on it.
Yeah. See, because the flip phone that I had a Brick Breaker and Snake 2.
You see what I'm saying?
And it was colored. My mama had it.
The only games we used to play, that was back when people used to play XOX.
Yeah.
And shit like that. So...
SOS and TikTok.
Is it SOS or whatever it is? So. You know what I'm saying? So when he said that,
super old.
I used to read 3,000 books. I'm like, damn, who am I to tell him he lying?
Right. Well, and that's the thing. I think when you have the stage, who am I to tell you that you're lying about anything?
To me, it just came off like, I think the 4.3 shit was bullshit. But then he put up a video today where he ran a 4.4.
Did he put up a video where he ran a 4.4?
Yes. So then it's one of them like, okay, how much, okay, at this point, damn, did he lie about anything? But then, okay, so let's move forward. This is why I also said I didn't think he lied about anything. So the Ricky Smiley thing came out. They proved that to be true.
Right.
The Cedric the Entertainer thing came out. They proved that to be true by actually showing the footage.
Okay.
Then the Steve Harvey, I'm hating on Bernie Mac, they proved that to be true.
Okay.
The Steve Harvey down stealing jokes from Mark Curry. Mark Curry came out and basically said, no, that's true. So everything he been saying, everybody been coming out proving to be true.
Okay. So, I mean, we know his height competition guy is what he said about Kevin Hart true.
Okay, so what part of what he said about Kevin Hart? Because I think a lot of people getting mixed up what he said, because I don't think they really took into consideration what he said. Because you got to go back and really listen to what he said. Now look at it from the vantage point of truth. Because he started off, before he started talking about Kevin Hart, he said Guy Tori shot a documentary,
right,
saying Kevin Hart was in L.A. selling out shows at that comedy place.
Right. And he said no way that he was selling out shows if he was in Philly.
Did anybody come out and say that was a lie?
No.
So that's why I said, now the he's a plant thing, I ain't touching that, cause we don't know.
Right.
But if he, if what he said was, is don't tell these people a lie that Kevin Hart was in LA selling out these shows, when we got documented proof Kevin Hart was in Philly and on the East Coast. He did say he was on Philly on the East Coast building up his following and selling out shows. He gave him the props for that.
Right.
He just said, don't then turn around and tell me he was in LA doing the same thing. Like, okay, that ain't possible.
All right.
And I took that as a shot at Gotori, not Kevin Hart.
Right. And I took that as a shot at Gotori too, because I heard that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. As in, like, don't bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't
tell revisionist history.
Right.
Like, don't make up things just to make it sound good.
Well, I mean, but you know that's the American way.
Oh well, we already know
history. Yeah. But so the other thing was the way that he was in which he was approached. And
ooh.
Cat. So, like, you know, I was approached, I gotta get down, either get down or lay down. Like, there are things that you gotta do to get this role. No, I'm not doing it. My integrity is not gonna allow me to do it.
Yeah, but I think we all know that true.
As far as what?
He probably was approached that way.
Oh yeah. Cat was probably approached that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you believe that Kevin was approached that same way?
Absolutely.
So this is my thing. This is my only pushback. You and I have both been in positions where you may get approached a certain way,
mm-hmm,
to set up a certain thing for yourself. And then someone else is offered the same thing, but not in the way that you offer.
Okay.
So is there no truth to that? Just because one person was approached one way, the other person wasn't approached differently?
There could be some truth to that. But what I'm saying is, at some point, he was approached that way. At some point. And I think that's what Kat was saying. Kat didn't say, this one particular person approached me this way, and I know for a fact they approached Kevin that way, and Kevin took it.
Right. Now, he didn't say that.
He just basically said, I was approached this way, and I'm sure others have been as well. Yeah, and I know for a fact that they've taken it.
See, my thing is,
both literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. See, my thing
take that,
is,
Take that.
My thing is that, so I have issues with insinuating. The only reason why I have issues with insinuating is because I've been surrounded by toxicity.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
At one point in life.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a fan of, because you introduced me to Entourage, I call it the Ari Gold. That's the name, right?
Ari Gold.
Mm-hmm. Ari Gold. Don't accuse me of some shit that I ain't doing.
Oh, basically he was saying,
yeah. Don't accuse me.
I don't want the stress of the affair without the fun of the pussy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So my whole thing is, don't insinuate what you don't know.
Yeah, but you okay. This is what I took from that.
Right.
I ain't insinuating nothing. I'm telling you what happened. You take it for what you want to.
Right.
Because we've had how many people come out and tell us this is the type of thing that's going on behind closed doors.
Right.
Cat ain't the first person who said that.
He's not.
You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, my man that played, I don't know if you ever watched the show, Lawmaker Bass. He also played in a few other movies and shows. Black guy. He just did an interview a day after Cat and basically said the same exact thing. Like, man, he said, I was at dinner and the producer grabbed my inner thigh and told me that he want to do whoop-de-whoop. So I don't think Cat did nothing earth shattering. I just think it's taking people aback because he used Kevin Hart as the example.
Right. And like, that's the thing. So I guess with me, if it's someone that you've constantly taken shots at, because he has constantly taking shots at Kevin Hart. Dog, go back and look at a lot of his interviews prior to.
Taking shots in what way though? What is equivalent to taking a shot?
So,
because if I say, hey Kelvin, dang, that job offered you the job because I turned it down. Is that taking a shot or is that truth?
It just kind of depends on the vantage point. Because they offered me the job because you turned it down. That could be true, that they offered me the job because you turned it down. But it's not what you say, It's how you say it. Because if depending on how you say it, you could be coming off as a bitch. Oh man, fuck that. They just offered him the job because I turned it down. We've heard people say it like that.
We've heard people say it like that, but I didn't get that from Kevin. I didn't get that from Kat.
See, but I got that from him. The only reason why I got that from him is because how he phrased it, talking to Shannon, was for me, it was just that way. And I'm like, okay, so if you don't want that position and I get the position and put everybody on or whatnot, and then you look at it as a, well, I didn't do that. I wasn't going to sell out in order to boost my career or move me forward, this, that, and the third. So anybody else who took this spot had to sell out to do that.
I didn't think he said that.
That's what I got from it.
Because what he said verbatim was, he said five scripts. He said it was five scripts that he didn't even say Kevin Hart. Right. Said it was five scripts that somebody else did.
But we knew who he was talking about.
We know who he's talking about, man. But he said it was five. He said it was five scripts that somebody else did that I choose not to do. He said because I simply went to them and was like, "Can we take out some of the step and fidget or whatever he said stuff out of it?"
Right, the step and fetch stuff.
Yeah. And he said that they didn't want to, and they found somebody else who was willing to do it the way it is.
Right.
So I don't think that's petty. To me, it didn't come off as petty or somebody just taking shots. It was, these are the facts.
Right. See, but it was one of those, and it's easy to come from a, these are the facts, when what he said was, I didn't do it, and they found a nigga to do it, is how he said it.
I didn't get that, but maybe I'm wrong. Like, I ain't gonna sit here and say I'm right, but the way I took that statement was, I didn't do these roles. I felt he was addressing when Kevin Hart was on Breakfast Club and was like, you know, the issue is you were the issue. You know, you didn't show up to work and you didn't do this and you didn't do that. Kevin Hart went in on him pretty good. I think he was addressing that particular interview where he was like, ain't got nothing to do with me not showing up to work. I had those scripts on my desk and I asked them to change something.
Right.
They didn't want to change it, so they found somebody else who would do it.
Yeah. But I mean, can we honestly really talk about why Kevin Hart went off? Because notice, whenever he took shots at Kevin Hart, just Kevin Hart, Kevin Hart didn't say shit.
Yeah, but even when Kat mentioned Tiffany Haddish, okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you believe in the statement, the truth can never be taken as disrespect?
Three. Yes and no. Six.
Okay. Well, do you think Tiffany Haddish is a funny stand-up?
No, I don't.
That's what Cat Williams said.
But there's a picture of Cat Williams bowing down to and apologizing to Tiffany Haddish for what he said.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, if I come in and say, Kelvin, your jump shot is terrible,
but I keep hitting.
You ain't hitting.
Okay.
But you keep shooting. And then you come to me and say, man, look, man, that shit really hurt my feelings. If I got any respect for you, I'm going to tell you, man, I apologize, bro. You would. If you a good-hearted person. I literally just asked you, do you
apologize for the truth?
If it hurt you, I'll apologize for me saying it.
If it hurts you and we got a relationship like that, then I'll apologize for you saying it. If we don't have a relationship like that, hey, cry me a river, build me a bridge, and get
over. Yeah, but you got to also think you're talking about a woman too. So
cry
what
me
if
a river,
so
what if so
what
how.
If but I'm just looking at it from what? Another vantage point. What if you. I'm just a good man? This woman is telling me what I said has truly hurt her.
Right.
Okay, man. I ain't mean it as no disrespect. I ain't mean it to hurt you. That was my opinion. I apologize for my words. Now let's move forward.
Okay. I if that's what happened.
That's are you yeah. I didn't see him bow down to Tiffany, so I don't know. I'm just going off of
don't
what
worry.
You said.
You know.
No, I believe you. I'm just saying I didn't see it. I'm just, you know, looking at it from that vantage point.
Yeah, because my dog Rufus Black, which I think is one of the greatest rappers to ever live, by the way.
I don't know who that is.
I know you don't. I know you don't. A lot of people don't know who Rufus Black is, but he was definitely my first inspiration to rhyme. But he posted it and he goes, hey y'all, don't really trip about it. He said, love Cat Williams, and he stood and what he stood for on Shannon Sharpe's podcast. However, he has come for comedians like this before and ended up apologizing. He also bowed before Tiffany Haddish. Let's keep that in mind. Watch as we pray. It was all entertainment. Yeah. So it's one of those things. And again, shout out to Rufus Black. I even stole one of his verses and kept it as like it was one of mine, and I would use it in freestyling. I never recorded it. Never recorded it. But it was one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I like the way this guy, I like the way he flows. So, I think that's one of those things. I think that's, you know, I'm unloading this clip. And if at any point in life that what I said comes up as false, I will say that Cat Williams is a big enough person to say, hey, that shit was on me. My bad. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I do appreciate about him. Mm-hmm. That is, it was on me, my bad. The other thing I appreciated about him is how he shows love to the up and coming comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch
not of only comedians.
Yeah, just, yeah.
But rappers too.
Rappers too. Because Boosie came out and said something. This white dude ended up on 160 city tour with him.
Deion Cole just Deion came Cole. Out yesterday and yep. said something.
So there's a lot of people that give him credit and give him love. There's even a lot of people, namely Kevin Hart, that still gives him credit for the stuff that he's done.
Well, because let's start here.
Yeah.
No matter what he said, you cannot diminish what he's done in comedy.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
As long as we stay there.
Oh yeah. And that's what I think I'm just one that, and I've always been this way. If you talking shit about me, and I get an opportunity on someone else's platform or get an opportunity to have a 15 minutes of fame moment.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I ain't gonna do with that 15 minutes of fame moment is address any shit that you got to say about me.
You got to.
I don't think so.
I saw people on Facebook saying, what happened to men being men? You know, if you had a problem with that man, why didn't you just go and address that man? I'm like, yo, okay. I see what you're saying, but I'm also from the ilk of, if you address me publicly, I'm going to address you publicly. Everybody was like, nah, I don't really agree with that. I said, let me ask you this. If you address me publicly, would you accept me coming back to apologize to you privately? Now, hell nah. You said it out loud. You got this damn apologize out loud. I said, so what's the difference?
I get exactly what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. I got to address you.
I think the only difference is in that is that your apology should be as loud as your accusation. I agree with that. Your apology should be just as loud as your accusation.
Absolutely.
Because if your apology is not as loud as your accusation, then I feel like what you're saying is bullshit. I feel like what you're saying was you just putting on. Yep. Now, my rebuttal or my retort to your accusation, I done seen several niggas get their ass whooped in private and it came back and publicly apologized.
Yeah, but see, my thing is Cat told us they already had the conversation privately.
Oh, well, with Cedric, yeah.
He said, like, dog, he said we buried the hatchet. Mm-hmm. Me, him, and Steve. He said we buried the hatchet over a decade ago.
Right.
And he said, you never heard me mention it again, which facts.
Right. Right.
So my thing is if I already handled it behind closed doors, man to man, and said I'm not talking about it no more, you haven't heard me talk about it no more, that's on Cedric. Now, Cedric, you got to eat that. Your decision has now caused me to react, and now you got to eat my reaction.
Right. And I dig that. I dig that. I totally dig that.
That's just how I look at it.
Yeah. So as we wrap up this Cat Williams thing, I know you said that you had a controversial thought. Was it the Ludacris thing?
Nah, but Ludacris went to them parties.
Bruh.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you one thing. I'm a firm believer in one thing.
Where there's smoke, there's fire?
Not even that. Okay. But let's go with that too.
Okay.
But if I came in here right now and told We Are More Than the Podcast, hey, Kelvin went to a party the other day, right? Me and him both got invitations. And they said that we had to do A, B, C, D, and E. Kelvin went to that party. Are you going to respond with a rap verse not addressing the party?
Fuck what Charleston White talking about. But,
oh, I ain't even know what Charleston White said. Yeah. What did Charleston White say?
Charleston White said that nigga wrote him a jingle.
Oh, see, I ain't even know what
he was saying. But
my thing is if you come out against OJ and say OJ went to this party and it was a bunch of A, B, C, D, and E going on, if I didn't go to the party, I'm like, yo, you a bold-faced lie, and you got to see me for lying on me.
Right.
You can't just lie on me, and I'm going to let it slide.
I dig it.
But have you noticed?
We got to have some straightening behind this thing.
All right. Have you noticed anybody come out and said he was lying yet?
So I've got another thought about that. People not coming out and say that he was lying. We've all been there. If I come out and say he lying, then he telling the truth. If I don't say nothing, then he telling the truth. We've been there before.
I took something totally different from that. What I took from that was one thing I think a lot of people missed what he said, and I think he said it purposely. He said in the same interview, tell them to tell me I'm lying, and I got the receipts.
Oh, so people ain't saying that he lying because they don't want him to pull out receipts.
I think that's one of them.
I got you.
This nigga really actually do know some shit. So instead of taking a chance, I'm going to just let him touch the surface and move past it, because what I don't want to have happen is him actually release any type of receipts he may have.
So my question is, why threaten me? Go on, drop a dick on the table. Pause.
Because it's not a why threaten me. It's one of those, again, Cat is responding.
Right.
This was not a unprompted, oh shit, Cat just went at everybody for no damn reason.
I mean, Cat had this in the clip.
So
he
I think that was, to me, it's one of those. I walk in the house, it's 100 people in here, all y'all talking shit. Okay, pow, I'ma shoot in the air to let you know I got my fire. Now test me and let me show you what this bitch will really do. Or now that I done sent this warning shot, you leave me the hell alone.
I got you.
And what I noticed is, like I said, not a damn soul has come out and said he was lying.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I'ma save that. What was the controversial thought?
It ain't really controversial. When I saw that, I'm gonna tell you, this is my thought. Uh-huh. This is just the thoughts of OJ Phillips.
Okay.
What I saw in that interview was a man who got the light of God in him, and a man who is on the side of good versus evil in an ongoing spiritual battle.
Pass the offering.
Okay. Based on just everything that he was saying?
To me, it just feel like he is the beginning of a season where a lot of evilness are about to be exposed.
Okay.
And I think he was the beginning.
So before I can either confirm or deny that, I guess I gotta watch the show.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I just gotta watch the show to see what else may come out.
Yeah, like, don't watch it from a entertainment standpoint, because I watched it twice. I just went back and just kind of looked at him while he was speaking.
Right.
And he came off as
I've watched it twice too.
Yeah. To me, he came off as a person who was speaking absolute truth, telling you exactly what it was, didn't care about the consequences. Like, and I think he was dropping a lot of jewels that a lot of people were going to overlook. You know, one of the main ones he said was basically he wasn't worried, because he said, look, the devil can't create nothing, even blessings for his own people.
Yeah. And I saw that too.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's a lot of stuff in there where I'm like, yo, y'all taking this for face value. I think this is like, we are in spiritual warfare.
Yeah, we've been in the spiritual warfare.
You know what I'm saying? I just think he happened to be one of the people on the good side, and we just happen to be seeing a person on the good side exposing the veil of ignorance that we've been sitting behind. Like, for instance, if people really think these parties ain't going on now, you crazy. They've been talking about it for years.
And I'm sure, like, there are certain things that are undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot of secret stuff that's been going on. Sure. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of people with shovels.
Yes.
And they know where the bodies are buried.
Yeah.
I mean, we even have information that, you know, things are not all that they seem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even like I told somebody the other day, they was like, who's to say Ludacris actually went? I said, man, look. I said, dog, Tupac did an interview 30 years ago.
Talking about that whole thing about Quincy Jones trying to get him.
So if 30 years ago, Quincy Jones was offering Tupac.
Right.
You don't think they doing it no more?
No, and I'm sure. Like,
no,
I said,
not you. I'm just talking about other people.
Right.
I'm like, man, cut it out. Terry Crews just came out and said he was in the party and the man walked up and grabbed a whole handful in front of everybody.
Right. And again, that was one of those, if I beat his ass, I'm wrong. If I don't do nothing, I'm wrong.
Yep.
So, like, that's why I keep saying, like, even with the responding,
mm-hmm.
if I respond, I'm lying. If I don't respond, I'm lying. So what I do?
As a man, what you do?
As a man, I get some straight.
If somebody came out right now yelling from the rooftops, Kelvin touched little girls.
Wait a minute.
Nah,
wait,
we not doing
it. You not gonna come out here and rap about everything other than me touching little girls. I'm gonna address that shit head on. You a goddamn lie.
Right.
What we talking about?
Right.
So that's why I looked at it like, damn, Ludacris, like, okay, cool. That little rap is cool, bro, but did you get fucked in your ass?
I get what
you're not going to address that. You just going to move past that. Because at some point, you got to say, no, bro, that ain't true. Like, you can't put that on me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to address that as a man. That, I just look at stuff like that.
Right.
Like, some things you let slide. Like, you know, like if I'm Kevin Hart, I let slide. I'm an industry plant. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Like, one thing that I will say that I appreciated about Kevin Hart's comments, one of the things that he says was, hey, do you entertain the circus or do you watch it?
You because, entertain it.
No.
You have to.
Nope. And the reason why I say that is because at the only reason why I feel that way, because at some point, it's not even a us versus them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a what you want to believe versus what you want to believe. Mm-hmm. So just sit back and it ain't going to stop my endorsements. It ain't going to stop this. It ain't going to stop that. It ain't going to keep me from doing what it is that I need to do. The documentary Heart Rock was at the top of Netflix. This was going on with my career. This is going on in my career. Hey, say at this point, because he didn't have any bang bangs.
Yeah, but see, I go back to looking at shit as a man.
Right.
If you're not going to address it, then don't address nothing at all. But if you're going to pick and choose what to address to me, you a bitch-ass nigga.
Yeah.
And that's how Kevin Hart came off to me. Kevin Hart came off to me in this instance as a bitch-ass nigga. I'm going to tell you why I say that.
Okay.
Because you picking and choosing what the damn respond to, not Kevin. Because when y'all was making jokes about the 4340, oh, so you addressing the 4340.
And the 3,000 books.
You addressing that.
Kind of thing.
But you ain't addressing nothing else of substance. So either A,
I think
don't
address it in that one statement.
You can't address, this how I look at it.
Right.
You can't decide and tell me, do you entertain the circus or do you watch the circus? Okay, well, you can't do both based off of your premise.
Right. I get you.
That's your premise. You saying you either entertain it or you watch it. Okay, then, well, which one are you doing? Because it seemed like you're doing both. But it seemed like you, like I said on, I don't know if you saw my Facebook post the other day, I was going at niggas.
The FAMU
coach left FAMU
right.
to go to Duke.
Oh, ain't nobody.
Where's the outrage?
Yeah. And nobody said anything.
Ain't nobody mad. Nobody pissed off. But that's why I feel like, let's not select the politic. If you're going to be on one side of something, be on one side of it. If you're not going to address Cat Williams, then don't address nothing Cat Williams say.
Right.
If you're going to address them, then address everything.
Right.
You can't pick and choose and then be like, well, it's the circus. Do you entertain or do you watch the circus? Nigga, which one you doing?
So, and I also looked at it and I said, hey, it just depends on, at some point, it depends on who you like.
I don't think it depends on who you like. I like both of them. I think it come down to truth. I think we are in a day and age where, is it true or is it not? He right. basically said, you weren't in LA selling out shows. Nigga, did he lie? Yes or no, Kevin Hart, did he lie? Damn, I don't give a damn if he run a 4-3. I don't give a damn if you read 3,000 books. Did he lie? Because in the documentary, it says you were in LA selling out shows. Nobody has corroborated this. So did he lie? Because in the same breath, he gave you props and said you were selling out shows on the East Coast.
Right.
So he didn't say you weren't selling out shows.
He just said you weren't selling out shows here in LA.
So did he lie? Please address that for us, sir.
Right. I mean, did Kevin Hart green light the documentary?
That's why I said I don't think it was a shot at Kevin Hart. It was a shot at Guy Tori.
So that question is for Guy Tori.
But my thing is if you're going to, if you're saying you're not going to address
and that's the comment came from after Kendrick, he joked about Kendrick Perkins. And Kendrick Perkins came back with it. He said, "Oh, well, you ain't say nothing about people talking slow when Cat Williams did a 3-hour episode. Why you ain't say nothing to Cat Williams?" He said, "Hey, man,
ha ha ha,
entertain, the keep moving, and or do you watch it?
You keep moving. I just told you what stage the entertainer should have said.
Just leave it alone.
Leave it alone, because if you're not gonna address it, like if I'm Ludacris,
right,
I'm not going to address it at all." What I damn sure ain't gonna do is put out a rap not addressing the fact that you said I was damn getting touched on.
Right. I got you.
What sense that make? I'm gonna address everything but me being touched on? Yeah.
See, I guess, and it's always been this with me, just personally. And maybe you feel like I ain't a man. With me, if it's not gonna affect anything that I do or how I move, and you got something to say about it, and if we don't move in the same circles, we don't do that, we don't do nothing alike, then whatever you got to say about me, nigga, ain't nobody hearing you no way.
It must be addressed. If you say, this is how I look at it. If you say something about OJ behind closed doors and I hear it third party, I ain't got nothing to say, because right, I ain't sure you said it. So I'm gonna keep it moving. But if I hear you, see you, say it, and you say my name, I must address it.
Okay.
I must address it. Now, if somebody come to me right now and say, man, hey, damn, whoop-de-whoop said whoop-de-whoop about you the other day. Like, okay, I ain't really sure you said it. I'm going to move accordingly, but I ain't going to address you because I ain't sure you said it.
Right.
But if I hear you on the phone or you on an interview or you on a podcast and you say, man, OJ this or OJ that or OJ did this. Oh, no, I'm addressing. I got to address it now, because now you putting it in the ether. I got to address it.
Okay.
It's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And if I'm not going to address it, then I'm going to shut the hell up. But I ain't going to address bits and pieces of it, address it all or not.
I did.
That's how I feel about Kevin Hart. Like, I just feel like he selected politics. You was on his ass when damn he said something about Tiffany Haddish. But when he said something about you directly, you ain't got nothing to say.
Kevin Hart's never said anything.
Then stop being a bitch ass nigga. Be one way or another. I just look at it like that.
I did.
Either be one way or another. If you're going to come out hard, if I say something about your friend, now I'm saying it about you.
Yeah. And the thing is, and we'll wrap this part up. The thing is that every time, and he's, Kevin Hart has said this, every time that he says something about Kevin Hart, every time Cat Williams has said something about Kevin Hart, it was, man, that shit don't mean nothing. Nah. No, he said it on the Breakfast Club interview. It was one of those. It was one of those, that shit don't mean nothing. He said something about who Kevin Hart was putting in position, and Tiffany don't bother nobody. That's
you
know.
My thing is, I understand you coming to the defense of your friend.
Right.
That's not my argument.
Your argument is, don't pick and choose what you want to talk about.
There you go.
Address the whole shit.
If you're going to address it, address it. If you're going to address me because I said something about your friend, now that I'm talking about you, address it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you notice the only thing Kevin Hart has ever responded to Cat about is, they didn't make me put on a dress. I chose to put on a dress. That's the only thing he ever responded.
When did he respond?
He didn't respond directly to Cat, but people asked him about the dress. And he said, basically, I chose to put on a dress. Everything I do is my choice.
Right.
You believe that?
So we've had conversations about this several times. And my stance has always been, and regardless to what I believe, what I don't believe, my stance has always been, at some point, we either have to believe that hard work can do things for you, or the only way that you can be successful is by selling out.
I think that's one of those things that two things can be true.
Okay. And if two things can be true, then is there any example where we're not trying to pervert the individual? Is there any example where it was just hard damn work that got you to where it is that
you're? Yeah, I think hard work gets you to a certain level, but I think to get to the next level, you doing something.
Yeah, I don't.
Where there's, I'm just the type person, man. I just don't believe in coincidences.
I got you.
That's just me.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? I could be wrong. And if y'all think I'm wrong, y'all can tell us.
Right.
But if every big comedian and actor and everybody else has either played gay or put on a dress.
Well, then Cat Williams played gay.
But what I'm asking is if they all put on a dress.
Right.
Is that not smoke to the fire? If every rapper does the same hand signs, is that not smoke to the fire?
I get what you're saying. Trust me, I totally understand what you're saying. I totally understand what you're saying. And there have been things that I'm like, I'm not sure. You get what I'm saying? I totally, totally understand what you're saying. My only thing has always been, because you know how I get. Why is always my people?
Let me,
because I've gone down those rabbit holes.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Yeah,
let me just ask you this last question.
Uh-huh.
So when Kevin Hart was interviewing the white girl, what's the white girl name? She has the talk show. She was a singer.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Interviewing Kelly Clarkson.
Uh huh.
And she got to talking about the same shit Cat Williams was talking about.
I didn't see it, but I got to go back and watch it.
Okay.
Okay.
Go find the clip.
I'll go back and watch it.
She literally got to talking about the shit she was offered and the shit they told her to do. Whoop-de-whoop. Kevin Hart was scared shitless and was literally like, stop. We can't talk about that.
Okay.
So I'm just one of those type people to where, man.
I'll go back and watch it.
Because DC Curry just came out and said the same thing. Said right. He's been offered the same thing. Like, yo, if you want this role, I'm going to need you to do whoop-de-whoop. Like, nah, I'm straight. But somebody else got the role. So I look at it like this. If I offer you $5,
uh-huh,
and you tell me no, why would I change my offer for the next person if I got all the power?
So
I'm going to continue to offer it to somebody, because Sam, like DC, not DC, yeah, DC Curry. DC Curry said it, and when he said it, it made perfect sense. He said, you know people right now, you, that do anything for $1 million.
I dig that. I know that. I know that. I know that.
So imagine what they would do if they told them, yo, you're going to be famous beyond any of your wildest imagination.
Right.
You're going to be rich beyond your wildest imagination. Imagine what they'll do.
I dig it.
It's girls out here right now showing they butthole for $6 a month.
Oh, man, this is going to be a terrible transition.
I'm just saying, when they get to talking about these parties and stuff, I'm just the type of person where I believe it, because I'm like, yo, I know people right now showing their butthole for $10 a month.
Right. This is going to be a terrible transition. Where you think I'm going now?
I bet you don't want none. Look out. You know you're messing with the wrong ones.
Now watch out.
You keep talking, I'ma give you some. Just keep running and running and running.